On the day that the church was established, Jews from every nation were present to hear the news of the gospel. On this Words of Life program, our speaker, Brother David Johnson, will use the phrase, Jews from every nation, as the title of his sermon. For many years, Words of Life has been telling the story of Jesus on radio. We are thankful that Churches of Christ and other dedicated believers are supporting this broadcast with contributions and prayers. It is our prayer that God will bless you as you listen. We first praise our Lord with song.
Raise your soul, raise your soul.
Please pray with me. Holy Father, it is in the name of Jesus Christ that we speak to you in prayer. Thank you for blessing our lives. We ask for effective use of this program and all other gospel efforts. Local congregations of believers and others are sharing your word, and they need your blessings in serving you. Please be with each one who is listening today who may be ill, troubled, or most importantly, lost in sin. We pray for their healing and peace and for the convictions that are needed. Help us to always be mindful that Jesus is going to come back for his church at your appointed time. Thank you for allowing us to talk to you today. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Using Acts 2, 5 through 13, Brother David Johnson will speak to us on the topic, Jews from Every Nation.
It's great to be together again as we look into the Word of God. The title for the lesson is Jews from Every Nation. And our primary text in this series in the book of Acts is Acts chapter 2, verses 5 through 13. Please listen to the word of God. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and parts of Libya, near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." This is the word of God. May he add his blessing to the public reading of his word. Pentecost was one of the three major feasts of the Jewish calendar, and all Jewish males were expected to celebrate it in Jerusalem at least once in their lifetime if they lived far off. Therefore, Jerusalem was full of both local and far-off Jews who had made the pilgrimage to celebrate the feast. Now let's look closer at that incredible day, in part, in our study. Verse 5. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. The writer Luke's emphasis is on the international nature of the crowd that had collected. They were all God-fearing or devout Jews that were, due to the feast, residing in Jerusalem or close by. Yet they had not all been born in Judea. They had come also from away, from the dispersion of the Jews. Luke wrote, quote, "every nation under heaven," end quote. From what follows in our text, it is obvious that Luke did not mean every single nation then existing. Luke was writing, as biblical writers normally do, from his own horizon and therefore was referring only to the Greco-Roman world situated primarily around the Mediterranean Sea. Indeed, to every such nation in which there were Jews in the first century AD. Something drew the crowd to the vicinity, probably the upper room where the disciples were staying. Acts chapter 2 and verse 6. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Probably initially the sound that they heard was as recorded in Acts chapter 2 and verse 2. Quote, "a sound like the blowing of a violent wind," end quote, grabbed their attention. As they congregated then, the multinational crowd heard something incredible. They heard the disciples speaking in their many different languages. Why exactly were they bewildered? Verse 7. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans?" That would have been shocking to especially the mostly sophisticated city dwellers from Jerusalem and the many large cities in the Mediterranean region. They would have viewed rural Galileans as uneducated, even ignorant. This raises the question, how did the crowd know that the disciples were Galileans? Perhaps their physical appearance, facially, or garments identified them as Galileans. However, a biblical scholar writes, quote, "Galileans were peculiar, first of all, because of their dialect." Consider Matthew chapter 26 and verse 73 that states, "After a little while, those standing there went up to Peter and said, 'Surely you are one of them, for your accent gives you away.'" Much like a Boston accent today gives Bostonians away. Three times we are told that the disciples spoke in the people's own language or tongue, Acts chapter 2 and verse 6, Acts chapter 2 and verse 8, Acts chapter 2 and verse 11. This refers to the vernacular or standard native languages of the people rather than to the Greek language that the educated Jews of the dispersion would have known. Greek was the universal language at the time, much like English is today. End quote. Of course, God could have supernaturally put into their minds that the disciples were speaking in many languages and were Galileans. Obviously, God did miraculously reverse what happened at the Tower of Babel, Genesis chapter 11 and verse 9. It says in part, "The Lord confused the language of the whole world," end quote, to instead communicate rather than confuse his message. Acts chapter 2 and verse 8. "Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language?" These known human languages would have been from Asia, Africa, and Europe near the Mediterranean basin. Nothing could have been more calculated to gain the hearer's attention. Nothing would have warmed a man's heart more than to hear his own native language. Today, by application, not miraculous, yet listen to an extraordinary story. Cam Townsend was born in 1896. At the age of 12, he received Jesus Christ as his personal Savior and Lord. In 1917, he went to Guatemala in Central America to sell Bibles to the Cachiqual Indians. But Cam soon realized that these Indians had no use for Spanish language Bibles and were often offended by his efforts to sell them. One day, one of these Indians asked him, "If your God is so smart, why hasn't he learned our language?" End quote. That question burned in Cam's mind until he determined to translate the Gospel of Mark, the shortest, into the Cachiqual language. With that difficult task completed, he proceeded to translate the entire New Testament. It took about 12 years. In 1929, the Cachiqual Indians exclaimed, quote, "Now God speaks our language," end quote. This gave Cam the motivation to translate the Bible into another language. Cam was urged to go to Mexico, where at least 50 Indian tribes had no Bible in their languages. Through an amazing series of contacts, Cam met Mexico's director of rural education in Mexico City, who gave him permission to study Mexico's rural education system for 6 weeks. Cam then organized a 3-month translation school in a barn in Arkansas in the United States for training Bible translators. They called it Camp Wycliffe, naming it after John Wycliffe, the first translator of the Bible into English. 3 students and 4 instructors sat in a barn on nail kegs, diligently praying and working at their monumental task. Cam and his trained team went to Mexico in 1935 and began to translate the Bible into Indian tribal languages. What is today Wycliffe Bible Translators has grown to become the largest independent Protestant mission agency in the world. At the time of Cam Townsend's death in 1982, half of the world's believed 5,000 languages still did not have any portion of the scripture in their native tongue. But about half, 2,500, did, largely due to a devoted Christian who lived to translate God's word. That's amazing. No, that's Almighty God always at work. Today in 2021, it is believed that at least 7,000 languages and dialects are spoken or signed around the world. More than 2,000 still need a Bible translation started. Work is being done in more than 2,700 languages and dialects currently. All this work began with one man, with one Indian tribe, in one small country some 104 years ago. We certainly have one great God. Back to our study text regarding the first century AD nations and their languages of the Jews in their dispersion. Acts chapter 2 and verses 9 through 11. Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Priglathia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans, and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. A commentator writes, quote, Luke's list comprises five groupings as he moves with his mind's eye approximately from east to west. First, he mentions Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, that is, Jewish peoples from the Caspian Sea westwards, many of whom will have been descended from the Jewish exiles who had been transported there in the 8th and 6th centuries B.C. Then historian Luke refers to five areas of what we today call Asia, Asia Minor or Turkey, namely Cappadocia to the east, Pontus to the north, Asia to the west, Parthia and Pamphylia to the south, because Judea comes oddly between Mesopotamia and Cappadocia. Some commentators think Luke is using the word to refer to a wider area like the whole of Palestine and Syria, even including Armenia. The third group is North African, namely Egypt and parts of Libya near Cyrene, its chief city. The fourth group is visitors from Rome across the Mediterranean Sea. And the fifth, which looks like an afterthought, is Cretans from the Mediterranean island of Crete and Arabs. So this was the international multilingual crowd that gathered around the disciples. End quote. Luke lists 15 geographical locations, areas in which known Jewish populations existed. Everyone there spoke a language other than Greek or Aramaic, the common language of the Jews in Palestine. And they heard the message of the disciples in possibly 15 different languages, maybe many more. The languages differed, but the message remained the same, the wonders of God. The wonders of God that they, plural, we hear them declaring the wonders of God was surely the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. But wouldn't it have been a confusing conglomeration of clashing languages all at the same time? Perhaps the answer is found in Acts chapter 2 and verse 8. Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Meaning the Lord miraculously had them speak in one or many languages, but the hearers also miraculously only heard the message in their own individual language. There were two initial general reactions to what the Jews heard and experienced. Acts chapter 2, verses 12 through 13. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." First, the more thoughtful hearers were honestly perplexed. They were used to their religion in the temple or synagogue expressed in worship, feasts, fasts, rules, and regulations. This spontaneous outpouring of witness and praise by the Galileans dumbfounded them. Secondly, some mocked, even in the face of such a spectacular miracle of hearing their own language from the mouths of unschooled Galileans. These are the two major types of mankind even to this day. Some are seekers of the truth, some are sneerers, regardless of the evidence. In all of this, God prepared the way for the Apostle Peter's proclamation of the first gospel sermon in the church age, beginning in Acts chapter 2, verses 14 and following, which will be the subject of our next lesson. We are all indebted to Christians such as John Wycliffe and Cam Townsend that you could hear today's exposition of Scripture in English or in the native language in which you live today in the world's languages across the globe. May God receive the praise and the glory.
Thank you.
Just as those present on the special day described by Brother Johnson were blessed, we too can receive the blessings of Jesus and the salvation found only in Him. We pray that you have already or soon will be making the important decision of becoming a Christian. If we can help you by answering questions, please feel free to contact us. You may have a free CD of this and next week's program by asking for broadcast 2149. That's 2149. It is our blessing to tell you that Words of Life is an international program heard on a variety of stations throughout the world. Our mailing address is Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Let me repeat that. Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Please let us know the call letters of this radio station when you write. Our email address is wol1radio@gmail.com. That's wol1radio@gmail.com. You can listen to Words of Life programs anytime you want by logging on to our website at wordsofliferadio.net. That's wordsofliferadio.net. Our newsletter is also available on this page. This is Wayne Hobbs inviting you to tune in again next week for another program from Words of Life.